Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. It's you, the diehard supportive fans, your favorite players who are on the team you cheer for and the organization who supports them.
The companies that make your gear, bags, and beer league sweaters. The hockey moms and hockey dads and everything else that makes this House of Hockey your home. Come on in. I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray.
And this is our house. Welcome to the House of Hockey podcast, episode 113. I am one of your hosts, Breezy.
And I'm one of your other hosts, the only other host, Ray Ray.
That'd be weird if we had more than two.
That would be. I don't even know who we would ask to come on, but...
We have a lot of people that would be a very good fit, that's for sure.
Yeah, we definitely would need some people who maybe like played the game. That could probably be beneficial.
Yeah.
But for now, you get just two fans talking to the fans. And we do not have a guest this week because there's just too much playoff hockey to discuss. We are recording this on Sunday. There are two game seven games being played, final, whatever, you know what I mean, being played today to determine the rest of the second round. So we're going to just sort of run through the updates, our thoughts, opinions on how the first round went, surprises, feelings. Also, I would like to note that none of Breezy's three hockey teams have advanced out of the first round of the playoffs. So she's now in my boat cheering for everybody and nobody all at the same time. So how does that feel, Breezy? How do you feel today?
I had two heartbreaks yesterday, and that was pretty bad. Three heartbreaks in 1 week for someone who is single currently. So that's tough. It's been a tough 24 hours, that's for sure. Actually, it hasn't even been 24 hours since that all happened. It's been, I don't even know how many hours. I didn't want to think about it.
How are you coping with the losses?
I think there were good things to take from them. And I think you have to think about that when there are losses. You have to kind of analyze and pick apart what was good and what was bad. Obviously, bad parts you lost. But I think that every team that has lost so far, not just the ones that I have, you know, wanted to watch. There were some really good takeaways. And I think that that's kind of what you have to build off of. So it sucks. But there are better teams out there and there are teams that want it more. And that's all you got to go after. So
did you think the Preds were going to be able to make it out of the first round?
Not playing the Avs, no.
Okay.
They probably had a better shot playing against another team. But because of the inexperience of their goalies, obviously Saros was injured and they knew he wasn't going to be playing. He got injured the last game of the season with a high ankle sprain. So it was up in the air if he was even going to be in for round one. And when you have an AHL goalie, not to say that AHL goalies aren't good, but when you're playing at that caliber and you haven't played many NHL games, I mean, how are you supposed to rely on that? And your big boys, when they don't show up every game, I mean, like we said, you can't have a one player team, but, and that's exactly what Roman kind of did. I don't think that Roman could depend on his teammates. And unfortunately, I think he held on to the puck for too long. And that's one takeaway. I hate to say it, but I think that he kind of should have relied on his team a little bit more. And now they're not there. So
now they're not there. The Avs are moving on. They will be playing the Blues. Who were able to eliminate the Minnesota Wild. I'm super sad about this. Like, I had such high hopes for the Wild this season getting out. Like, I really thought they could have got out of the first round, just with the way that they played all season long. And the Blues, I'm getting a little bit of Blackhawks vibes from the Blues, like how the Blackhawks had two seasons where they were like not great getting into the finals, and then like all of a sudden they advanced. Like, I've got the feeling that the Blues could be like a sleeper, super sleeper team coming in and could make it all the way to the final if they can get past the Avs, which I don't think is impossible. But that's the vibe I'm getting from the Blues right now, is like sleeper status. Nobody's really been paying attention or talking about them, really. Well, we haven't, but I don't know if they have the depth to make it all the way. We'll see. And Binner's back. Binner's back. And that's huge for the Blues. And he got a W and he helped them get to the next round. So like, there's a lot of mojo happening there that you just cannot make like we saw with the Leafs. Which brings me, unless you had a thought about that, those teams, but yeah, I want to hear how you feel about the Leafs. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have a thought about the Blues and Avs. So when I think about the Blues, I think of them as being like a big bruiser team, right? Like they're big and strong and tough. And then when you look at the Avs, I see more like finesse and skill and speed. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic is going to work, because really you don't have too many fighters on the Avs from what I've seen, right? Like, you have McDermott, who will drop the gloves with anybody. Landeskog will probably, you know, throw something down, but I mean, can the Avs take the Blues with the physicality that the Blues have? So I don't know. I mean, I want to say the Avs will beat them, but I don't know if that's the case when it comes to the strength that the Blues have. So I don't know.
I'm excited to see how that goes. I'm going to skip around a little because I want to hit your opinion on all of your teams that were eliminated first, and then we can roll through the rest.
Okay.
So let's talk about the Leafs and the loss to the Lightning. First of all, that whole series was so exciting to watch. It was nail biting, stressful. Every shot that was fired on the net, you were holding your breath no matter which team you were cheering for, because there was like a possibility it could go in. It was like that kind of an intense game. Yeah. However, as we all know, the Leafs did not advance for now the sixth time in a row out of the first round of the playoffs. The players were on the record saying they are, quote, sick and tired of coming up short. And the argument I think a lot of people and media and social media go immediately to is like, well, the Leafs have to make a change now. And I disagree with that statement. I don't think they need to make a drastic change. Obviously, they have to make a change, right? They do not have the defense that they need. They've got all of these like other players and the Magic there, like with the offense, but I don't think they have that whole chemistry package. Like I've always said, I don't think the leadership is strong enough to get those guys wanting to play for each other like Tampa does. Like we've heard them over and over. They beat us over the head, Tampa, with the like, we play for each other. We are fighting for each other. It doesn't matter if somebody goes down. We're stepping up. We're in this together, together, together. You don't hear that from the Leafs. However, this loss for the Leafs might just be enough of a kick in the butt for them to figure that out. Like they might need to lose this many times in a row in the first round to get the message, to learn the lesson, and be able to figure out how to play as a team together, because that's what happened with Tampa. I mean, they didn't make it out of the first round for a couple times, right? But they learned from their mistakes and made the changes necessary both to their lineup and to how they play for each other. And it's proven. That's my thought on that.
Yeah.
That was like five thoughts, but there's a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
With this series.
I mean, you do need to think about it too. And it's like, you can't go back 2, 3, 4, 5 years of post-game, you know, losing round one interviews, and you hear the same thing over and right. over and over again. And you don't have that much skill on one team and play your absolute heart out all season long and have 6 games be neck and neck, crazy neck and neck. Take that with a grain of salt, because there were a couple yeah. games where you're like, this is absolutely ridiculous. But
right.
you don't play 6 games and then your 7th game come out and just, what did they do? They didn't do anything. It looked like they just were tired. They just didn't want to be there. And it's like, you are in your home arena. The mm-hmm. fans are loud. They want you to win. Like, you have everything it takes. But like you said, there's what, maybe 3, 4 guys that have chemistry on that team at this point.
Yeah.
Everyone else
barely
can play really well. But I mean, Mitch Marner, for one, I mean, where he shoots goals, right? And he's fast. But he's not blocking shots as much as he should be. He's not sticking up for his teammates. He's not doing anything. I mean, at least Austin Matthews was physical. Mitch mm-hmm. couldn't even take a hit. Like, he wouldn't even hit. So I don't know. I just think, like I was talking last night, I was like, they play so good. And then the one game that really matters, they just, you didn't even see effort, really.
No.
So.
No, it's hard. That's like, it's, I feel for Leafs fans,
yeah.
You know, you included obviously in that, like I feel for you. 'Cause that is so frustrating to see such talent. I mean, Austin had over 60 goals, like this, like the records, the skill, the points, like all of this should be adding up to more than a first round exit. And it's frustrating. I can't even, I'm glad I'm not a Leafs fan. That's like,
you got to think about it too. I mean,
so Jake hard. Muzzin,
yeah. Jake Muzzin. I mean, he was probably one of the key guys for when the Kings won the cups, and it's like, he has that experience, but mm-hmm. do you even listen to a guy like him in a situation where you have hot shots like Nylander and Matthews and Marner in the lineup? I mean, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that locker room when it comes yeah. down to who are you considering leaders and who are you listening to, just because of how many followers they have on Instagram, what their right. social status is, or are you listening to, you know, veteran players? I mean, why did you scratch Wayne Simmonds? Like, why would you do such a thing? It just didn't make sense to me. And upper management, I don't think they need to make any changes, like you said.
Like big changes, nothing drastic.
What are you supposed to do?
But they can't either.
No, you can't. And like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you have your core group. You just need to get them meshing better, or they got to mesh in a different way than what they do now. And I mean, I didn't even listen to the post game interviews. I was like, it's going to be the same thing you hear, you know, every year. Yeah. But and I mean, I feel for Leafs fans that are, you know, in Toronto, or that have come out of, you know, from Toronto and are living elsewhere in the States, where, you know, they're affected way more than I am, because mm-hmm. I obviously am following other teams. So it's like, I feel for them in a sense of like, what do you do? Like, it's the same thing year after year, but you think that they have it this year and they don't. I don't know.
Well, Leafs fans thought they had it this year. I definitely was not on that train. I really didn't think they could do it.
But I do year. Think that there were other, you know, fans of hockey who think, or who
oh, for sure. thought
that the Leafs definitely had what it took to get out of the yeah. first round. And I think when you have, you know, a team that everyone jokes about that can't make it through the first round for so long, and to finally win people over and be like, you know what, yeah. they can actually do it this year, and then they don't. It's like, you had one game to win, and that was your game to win. Yeah, they probably had a crappy call on that interference where Tavares scored the goal. It would have been 2-2 if they didn't get that interference call. So it still was a tight game, and I think you need to look at it. Like I said, you got to take the positives out of it. it could have been their game. It's just after you get a call like that, it was like they took their foot off the gas. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, fight for it. Fight for each other.
Yeah, that's what's missing. Yeah. I mean, they brought in Giordano, who's a leader, right? Yeah, but like, how do you bring that kind of a guy in so late in the season and in that kind of a locker room? I mean, I too wish we could hear what goes on in there. I also think it's on the coach to lead those guys and to have respect and trust both ways, right? And I mean, I'm gonna put some of that on the coach. Yeah. Like, that's like a big part of his responsibility is to have them wanting to work together. But if you have really strong personalities in your locker room who don't care and they're guaranteed X millions of dollars and they can't be traded and they don't give a fuck, then there's really nothing the coach can do either. So like, I see all sides of it here, but
I think that's enough. One thing to note before we move on from here is the amount of press and media that is on the Maple Leafs day in and day out has to be exhausting. And when you want to be able to just have that team time, knowing you have 50 cameras on you guys, I mean, that has to be tough too. I mean, they have a lot of pressure on them just for the sake of, you know, what's on their chest every night. So that could also be a factor, and no other team in the league has that much pressure on them 24/7, even on the off season.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine, you know, what's actually, I can't imagine. I mean, I don't even know where to go from there.
I think that's a little bit of an excuse. Like, I think if you are a professional athlete, like, you know, the pressure that's coming. That the pressure is definitely higher in Toronto. I'm not arguing that, but like, other players who have just as much pressure and their name in the media over and over, like, just take, for example, like a Sidney Crosby.
Right.
He's still managed to win and goes to Nova Scotia in the off season where there are no cameras, and like, there are ways to do it. And there are ways to deal with that pressure and stress and all of that. And like, they know their role, they know what's happening. You know what you're getting into Toronto. When you go to that team, yes, you may not have experienced it firsthand, but like, I just feel like that's not enough for me. Deal with it. Like, that's what you signed up for. Like, you're a professional athlete, you're a public figure. Like, this is what happens. Don't read the news. Like, there are so many things you can do. Like, there's certain players, and I hate to even say this because I hate the NBA, but like, there are players who literally delete their Instagram, like LeBron does this, and disappears and doesn't read anything and doesn't go on and doesn't engage. So like, there are ways to do it. Like, what works for them works, you know, for them, but like, they got to figure something out because what they're doing isn't working. Yeah. Like, in regards to handling the pressure and all of that, if that really is a factor, you know?
Which I think it could be a factor for some players because they have mentioned it publicly that, you know, they walk in on a random Tuesday at 11 a.m. to go practice and there's hundreds of press in the stand just wanting to watch them do stretches on the ice. And it's like, why are you here? Like, it could be an excuse, but I think knowing that too, and knowing that it does get to the players, because you don't see hundreds of people, you know, watching Jonathan Toews do stretches on the ice, right?
Right.
So
the Leafs organization doing then? Don't allow that many media in. Like, they have the power to decide how many press passes they give out to the media. So like, fucking help your team. I can't.
If they came out and were like, no press during warmups or during this, like if they were able to do such a thing, what an uproar that would be. And I would be curious to see if they were to limit press in certain situations, how much better they would perform on and off the ice when it came to camaraderie or, you know, just chemistry and winning games.
I think it would improve, but like, but come on, Leafs organization.
Never do it.
Like, they have the power to do what they want. They can allow whatever media, they can revoke media passes. Like, they can do whatever they want. Yeah. So like, it's up to them.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about that.
About like 15 minutes of Maple Leafs.
Leafs. That's, I know. Cool. But that's kind of the big topic anyway, I would say, out of all of this. Like, it's the biggest of the upsets and the things that are going on. But real quick, because the Leafs were eliminated, the Lightning move on to the second round. They are going back to the Battle of Florida, where they're going to face the Florida Panthers, who they met in the first round last year because of the rearranged divisions. I'm excited for this series. I cannot wait to see this series. It's going to be great. There is such heated rivalry there, and I'm pumped for this. Like, I'm super pumped that this is happening, but I also still hate the fact that those two teams will never play each other in the Stanley Cup final.
Round two could be your version. I mean, it could be brutal. I mean,
it could be my Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what you need to like based off of, because they will never, ever, ever once play each other in a Stanley Cup final. But it's going to be an intense series. And I think it's going to be one to watch for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's injuries with the Lightning on some key players, but that team, their depth, their ability to pull their other players from third, fourth lines up and deliver is... God, it's just amazing to watch. Like, I just think what Tampa has done and how they have created what they have is something to watch, regardless of how far they advance. But let's move to your third and final team that was eliminated, your Kings, who lost to the Oilers game seven. The Oilers are moving to the second round for the first time since 2017. That's big news. But it's also sad news for Breezy. How do you feel about this?
I actually am not too mad about it. I think that the going into the season, no one expected the Kings to play as well as they did. Next year should have been their, you know, making it to the playoffs year. I think the things that they did this season really impressed the entire league, because I don't think anyone really expected this out of them. I think that they all did really well. Kind of a bummer to hear about Dustin Brown at the end of the season, but I think it was what was needed. I think Dustin Brown going out in the playoffs in a seven gamer, awesome. Obviously wish they would have won for him, but I think that the Kings played really well, and I think that the matchup was a good matchup against the Oilers. I think that the Oilers have an advantage for the sake of they have a huge, huge, huge fan base cheering for them, especially with Ben. I think that he has given them a huge boost of confidence, and especially having Ben come down to LA, we obviously saw a few things there.
Ben Stelter, the young boy who's battling cancer. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that the Kings can take a lot away from not only this season, but this round one. And there are some absolute superstars on the Kings that are unsung heroes that no one will ever really know. And I think that they have a lot to prove. And I think they have proved to themselves that this is a good group. I think they'll make a little bit of a change in this offseason, obviously with Dustin Brown going, but I think that the Kings are going to come out really strong next year. And I couldn't be, you know, happier with how they performed over the entire season. So wish they would have won, but I'm just proud that they made it to as far as they did. So
I'm excited to see what they can do in the future. If they can continue this momentum into the next season, and see if their rebuild effort, if you will, is solid and forward moving.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about that. Well, those are your three teams. I guess we should finish the rest of the teams that have already advanced, which are, we've already briefly discussed the Florida Panthers. They eliminated the Washington Capitals, and that is exciting to see. I really didn't think the Caps were going to make it out, but they did make for some exciting playoff hockey, those games.
Yeah, they did.
And the Hurricanes, the Carolina Hurricanes, have defeated the Bruins. They've advanced. They've got a lot of work to do, the Canes, in this next series. It's sad. I think there's going to be some changes in Boston with some of those legendary guys. Or they just end up sort of becoming like the Chicago Blackhawks, where you've got these like stellar two or three guys on your team, but you rebuild and you don't make it back into the playoffs for a while. Any thoughts on that series?
Yeah, I think the Canes have, I think they have great potential. I think whoever they end up getting to play, whoever wins the game today against the Pens and the Rangers, I believe that's who their matchup is. I think either one of those teams would be a good match for the Canes. I think it'd be really cool to see the Canes and the Rangers personally. Yeah. Who knows if that'll happen. Again, we're recording this early. But the as far as the Bruins go, is it time to cut ties with like a Marchand? I don't know. I don't know if you can see him playing for another team. I think he's just going to go out as a Bruin. And people were talking about Bergeron, like, and they had asked him, what's the future? And he's like, it's too early to talk about the future.
Yeah.
He still has so much left in him though. And I think that both of them will end up coming back, but I think that the Bruins do need to make some changes. I know they brought in like Taylor Hall, but is Taylor Hall one of those guys in the locker room that just, he's a big name that just does not do anything as far as having a big name? I mean,
he does what he's paid to do, but like, I don't know that he does beyond what he's paid to do.
But is he, what he's being paid? I don't even know if he's doing what he's being paid to do other than like score goals and be like, what is he bringing? Why are they not, any team he goes to, they're not doing well. So
yeah, but you can't pin it on, make it to the playoffs. Though,
yeah, so. I'm not pinning everything on Taylor Hall. Don't get me wrong, but there's so many other players on that team, and it's like, how do you rebuild from that stacked of a lineup when, I don't want to say, maybe stacked isn't the right word. So I'm a little, I don't know. I just, is it time to cut ties with one of their hot shots? And I don't know if it is. I just think that maybe it's upper management. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a slump. Maybe it's a four season slump the Bruins need to go into and then just come out strong again. I really don't know. I think there's better teams than the Bruins, and I think that shows. And I think that it wasn't the Bruins' year. And maybe that's the case too. Maybe there's no rebuild needed. Maybe there's no trades that need to be needed. It's just more so the Bruins aren't good enough to win the Stanley Cup, given all the talent on all the other teams and what other teams are bringing to the table. And I think that is probably amongst everything floating in my head about the Bruins, that's probably the one thing that I'll come down to.
I mean, that's why this is the hardest trophy to win in sports.
Yeah.
Like, what you just said and what we've said thus far about a lot of these teams in the first round, like, that's why it's the hardest trophy. Like, there were five game seven series in the first round, which is the second most ever in any round in history. Obviously that could only be like the first or second round. First or second round, right? But like, that's an unparalleled, like, that speaks to the quality of the talent on so many of these teams And I think that's great for the league. I think that's great for all of these teams. And we can't be too hard on a lot of them, because the talent, the skill to go to game seven, I mean, that's like nuts in the first round. You know, this is what we want. And like, this is good for the league. This is good for fans, teams to be excited and to really feel like their team has a chance to go far and make it. And I think that's something different we're seeing this season.
Yeah.
I agree. The playoffs. Flames and Stars, that's the only other game happening. I'm feeling pretty confident in the Flames advancing. And then if they do, they will be playing the Oilers, which will be a little bit of, you know, Battle of Canada. What province are they in? The same province as those two?
Yeah.
What are they called there?
Alberta.
Yeah, I can't remember who's in the Battle of Alberta. I don't even know where Calgary is in Canada. Okay, guys, couldn't tell you. I'd have to look at it on a map, or where Edmonton is. Couldn't tell you who's east or west, everybody.
Geez.
Just know about the teams. I have never been to Canada. So like there's that. Show me a map and then I'd be like, oh, okay. That makes sense. Anyway. That's happening.
I think the Battle of Alberta is what is needed for playoff hockey. When they play each other in regular season, it's wild. Yeah. It's absolutely nuts. So to have that as a second round playoff series would be insane. Like, talk about press that would be covering that, because both teams would be just firing left and right. Although I think I mentioned it last week, maybe, or maybe I just thought it in my head. I don't remember if this was publicly said, but I was a little disappointed that the Flames aren't scoring as many goals as they have been. Mm-hmm. So if the Flames can score goals like they have been, and the Oilers can score goals like they have been, I mean, if we were to have 5, 6, 7 goal per side games, I mean, 14 goals for an entire game would be insane. And I think those two teams in that kind of an atmosphere could give us probably one of the most high scoring playoff games in history. And that's probably way, I don't even know why I just said that, because I have no facts about that at all, but
that's just how you feel. Let's do it.
Yeah. No facts. I don't even know what the stats are on that. I have no idea. So that's probably just.
Listen, you don't know the stats on that. I don't know where the hell, what province, country these people are in. You know, it's what it is. I know the teams, but I don't know the locations, and I don't think that really is relevant.
No, that's fine.
It's not actually.
Yeah.
This week's episode of the House of Hockey podcast is brought to you by Hockey Fans. The pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. Oh yeah. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. That's THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
So amongst all this, they did the draft lottery, and the Canadians got the number one draft pick for this upcoming draft, which is crazy, because how do you go from playing for the Stanley Cup last season to now winning the number one draft spot this upcoming, you know, for this next coming draft blows my mind. First of all,
it's a lottery, baby. That's why
it's a lottery. But second,
the bingo ball that pops out.
So all eyes are on Shane Wright as the first overall pick. And that's who they're, you know, kind of everyone's saying that that's who the Canadians are going to pick. And Shane Wright did an interview and gave some insights as to why he thinks that he deserves to be the number one pick. And it's been said there's no generational players that are in this upcoming draft, right? There's not like a McDavid or a Matthews or anything like that. But Shane Wright has been kind of said that he plays the same kind of game as Bergeron, which I think could be just as important as a generational player. Because when you think of it, if you think of hot names in the league, Bergeron's going to be on that list, whether he's, you know, number five or number 50, he's still on, you know, the top of the list. Yes. So I really enjoyed reading Shane Wright's kind of interview that he had done where he talks about, he analyzes his gameplay and how he thinks that being kind of told that he plays similar to Bergeron, because he agrees, he said that that's the kind of player he is striving to be. He plays a good 200 foot game. He can do anything on that ice, and he thinks that he is well deserving of being that number one spot. He believes he is the best player to be draft in that draft class. So very, very interesting.
Talk about confidence.
Yeah. And reading that and having him analyze himself. I mean, he's a young kid, and to be able to analyze yourself as a player is pretty impressive. And I think that I think that he's going to go number one. I think he's going to be putting on a Habs jersey. And I think that he's probably going to have some hype around him. And I think he could be one of those players that, like you said, like the Blues, is he a sleeper player?
Right.
Maybe. We'll see.
Do you think that's a little bit cocky of him to say those things? Or does he say it in a way that is humbling and like...
Well, you can only read words.
Yeah, see, that's way, hard.
Right?
But yeah, I think it can be taken out of context too. in written press, you know, the whole
When I saw the headline where it said Shane Wright believes he deserves to be number one, I was like, who does this kid think he is? But once you start reading it, I think it's a good thing to have confidence. And he had a supporting way to say, this is why I think I deserve it. I mean, he's saying he's putting in the work. He's a player that every team in the league would need. You need a 200 foot player, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's listing out the reasons why he believes he's a good player and why he believes he should be number one. Now, for him to say he's the best player in this draft class, if you have a draft cap class, I mean, obviously there's other good players.
Yeah.
Are you the best? Maybe. What are your stats say? But stats can only say so much. I mean, if you're like, sorry, I'm probably going to get crap on this, but if you're an Ovechkin on the power play, you go to your one spot and you just be, you know, wait to be fed the puck. You're going to score goals left and right because you're not doing anything. Are you?
Right.
But thank God he says it's not an Ovechkin. He's more of a Bergeron, which we'll see. I don't know. Could it be cocky? Maybe. Is it confidence? Also, maybe it's like reading a text. You don't know. You can take it either way. So I just thought it was interesting. Good thing to comment on. I don't know.
Could be a good thing for the Canadians to have a little bit of young, cocky energy in the room, you know, a little bit of excitement, a little bit of get the boys going. If he thinks he's that good, is he going to motivate other people to be as good as him and want, is he going to, you know, command the respect of the room and the other guys? Or is he going to be, is it going to turn into like a potential Toronto situation where you've got a lot of confident, cocky players who know they're really good, but it doesn't contribute to the team camaraderie?
Right.
We will see.
We shall see.
We'll see if the Canadians think this is confidence or cockiness. we'll see what they decide to do with their number one pick.
Well, speaking of confidence, let's jump into the AHL playoffs here. So the St. Louis Blues goalie prospect, Joel Hofer, scored an empty net goal. So he did an interview as well, and he said that it's playoff time. You can't make any risky moves, right? But when he had gone around to get the puck, he realized he had more time on his hands than he had thought and said, well, heck, why not? So he shot the puck, and they said that he sent the puck about 195 feet into the empty net. So for the Springfield Thunderbirds, which ended up, they ended up beating the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins 6-2. So,
wow.
Didn't have confidence, saw they had time, had confidence enough to just yeet the puck down the ice, scored an empty net goal.
I love it. I got to watch the clip. That's awesome. I love hearing these kinds of stories. Yeah. What else has happened in the AHL? Since you're going to be our resident AHL reporter now for the pod, since
I don't know,
I haven't watched any AHL hockey. Yeah, tell me what else is going on, Breezy.
Little brother, Colorado Eagles are crushing it just like their big brother, the Avs. The Eagles tallied up it was 15 Eagles tallied up a point in their game. So 15 different Eagles where they got 6 goals in one period. And they beat the Ontario Reign, and they set a postseason record with 6 goals in one period. They had 10 goals that game. So that's...
Holy cow!
That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot of points for players. I like that. I like that story. 15
different Eagles scored a point in that game. And I believe the score, I don't know if I have the score on here. It was six goals in one period, and it was 10 throughout the entire game. So I don't remember. I think the Reign might have had like 2 goals in that one, but that's a lot of different players to be racking up points on that score sheet.
That's depth right there. That's depth.
And to think that you're going to have some Eagles making their way up to the Avs.
Oh, great. Just what I need.
There you go.
Your more favorite. Talent on the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah. So they're still going into the AHL, still waiting for the round of 3 playoffs to go. The only team to make it to the divisional finals right now is the Stockton Heat. So everyone is still playing for their lives, and we'll see next week how it goes.
All right. That's a update on the AHL for you, brought to you by Breezy.
There was one that came across my feed that I had sent to you, and you said you had a comment on it about the catfish.
Yeah. So there was a video, of course, last week of, I don't know who it was, but at a Preds home game, they had this giant catfish that they chucked onto the ice like they do. And for the first time, And I think maybe it's just because I'm now a mom to a pet. Like I have a nurturing side that I have embraced, and I feel so bad for so many animals, and I want to save all the dogs and cats and horses and one-legged goats and whatever the hell is out there. Seeing the face of that catfish, like they showed the face to the camera, I was like, that's like that thing has a soul. And like, they're just throwing him on the ice like he's an inanimate object. And but are you sure he looked alive? It was, even if it was dead, like, what are they doing with it? Are like, you can't eat it now because now it's been brought to room temperature. And like, that fish was sacrificed to just be thrown on the ice. I don't know. I didn't like it. Like I didn't like it. And I used to be a big advocate of like the octopus, and like, I've probably been on the record here saying how much I loved seeing catfish being thrown on the ice, but like, my opinion about it is a little bit different. I'm not like PETA. I've not gone all the way to the PETA side of things, because they did issue like a warning letter or whatever to the Preds about throwing catfish on the ice. And like, I get it. I get it. And I feel bad for the catfish.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. A supporter of weird hockey traditions, like throwing dead things. No, I don't know. I think, can we do what Seattle does, where they have like the fake stuffed animal fish? Like, can't we do that? Like, I'm good with that. That's good. That's cool. That thing you can keep, because you can keep the fake fish. But like, if you caught a real fish, you can't keep that, and it's going to stink, and you don't stuff a fish, right? Like, that's not a thing.
It is a thing, I think.
It is a thing.
They put those on walls.
You can taxidermy a fish?
Yeah.
Maybe it's called something else. But either way, I don't know. I just felt really bad for the catfish.
Gotcha. Well, while we're on it, I just want to give everybody a little bit of a history on the catfish throwing. Because it's very much similar to how the Detroit Red Wings do their little toss. So they've been throwing a catfish on Bridgestone Arena ice long before the franchise became a cup contender. The Tennessean first reported a fan tossing a catfish on the arena on October 30th, 2003. But there are reports of Bob Wolf, who's a local restaurant owner, tossing a catfish on January 26, 1999. So a year after their inaugural season. Okay. And it was against the Detroit Red Wings. So it's kind of like a back and forth there. So a few seasons ago, NHL officials warned the franchise that they would start handing out delay of game penalties if the tradition disrupted the game. And so the tradition switched from throwing the catfish prior to the start of the game rather than in the middle of the game, right? So the Preds haven't officially endorsed the fans to do it, but they have frowned upon it. But they still haven't done anything to like prevent it from happening. Right. And they obviously, you know, it's a big thing in Nashville to do that. The guy from the Titans,
anybody knows the football player.
Taylor does it all the time. And it's kind of a thing. Pekka did it. I made a comment on it when I was at the stadium.
Oh, I loved seeing Pekka do it.
Yeah. It was just a big hype. So I do see both sides of it, but I am a big fan of hockey traditions. Do they need to maybe do it where maybe there's more sensitive crowds now where they need to turn it into a stuffed animal? Do whatever you got to do to make people comfortable, but I don't think that the tradition should die. I think that you got to keep traditions how it is. I think it hypes up fans. I think it hypes up the players. Maybe there's a better way to do it, but
I know that's why I was so surprised at my own self that was the reaction I had, because I loved seeing Pekka do that with the catfish, but it was like I saw into the soul of that fish, because it was like they got a close up on the face and the eyes, and I was like, I feel so bad for that fish. I don't know. I don't know what's happening to me. Am I getting soft? I don't know. Do I need to like toughen up? I'm not entirely sure, but I felt really bad for that catfish. But not the one when Pekka threw it.
Not the one when Pekka threw it.
Couldn't tell you why. Maybe somebody can explain this to me. Maybe I should talk to my therapist about it. She might have an answer.
Maybe.
I wanted to tell you, I texted you this and I thought it would be pretty funny to share. on the pod. And then I know you have a personal story as well about out of towners, which we haven't had any of those stories in a while. So that'll be fun to hear. But I too am single, just like Breezy said, her status earlier about her heartbreak. And I dabble on one dating app because I do not have the patience to do more than one. And a gentleman came up and his name was Jonathan, spelled like Jonathan Taze. And the first photo is always in black and white. And I swear to God, I thought it was Jonathan Taze. I was like, oh, Jonathan Taze is on this dating app? I thought he was like dating somebody and like, I better check this out. And I took a screenshot and I sent it to Breezy. And I mean, I don't want to like put the picture of the guy up on the internet because that's like weird. And he also still, he hasn't liked me back yet. So that's also kind of a bummer. But I solely liked this guy and swiped right because he looked like Jonathan Taze.
He did, actually. He looked like a different version of Jonathan Taze, though, but they had the same...
Like a happier one?
Yeah, they had the same eyes and, like, smile and, like, smile lines when JT decides to bless us with a smile every now and then. But I saw it. I was like, you better swipe... I don't know what this dating app is. I don't think you have to swipe on it, but...
No, but either way... I don't know. I liked him and we'll see. He still hasn't liked me back yet, but you never know. I'm in the shuffle somewhere, but that's the state of my life currently. It's so depressing.
I do this thing where I don't know why, but I'm not like an aviation enthusiast or anything like that. But over my house, there tends to be a lot of like flight paths, and it seems as though planes have gotten like lower and lower. And we have a lot of, I live close to a couple military bases. And so there's a lot of like military planes that fly overhead. And I actually love military planes. Fun fact, maybe it's not fun, it's just a fact. But so I tend to like, whenever I hear something, I tend to like look up in the sky and like see it. I don't know why, it just is what it is.
It's human nature.
Yeah, so it was a warm night. It was Friday night. It was a warm night. I was in the front room where watching a hockey game, and I had both of the windows open. And I heard this really, really loud plane. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it's my town is notorious for having fires. So when you hear a loud plane or a loud helicopter, you automatically think, oh, gosh, is there a brush fire? Like, let's go out and see if we can see one. So I heard this loud plane and I walked outside and I had to like look the opposite, like this, like the direction of like where like LA would be, right? Because I'm on the suburbs of Los Angeles. So I looked in the direction of like where LA would be, and I walked like, because the plane's going probably to LAX. And I was looking and I was like, wow, that plane is really low. And then I happened to like turn my body and I was looking down my street. And I thought to myself, because I'm weird, right? And I just watched this movie on like Amazon Prime about this couple, and they went to like go buy this house, and like they got stuck in this neighborhood and like they couldn't get out. And I like looked down the street and I was like, dang, I wonder if in my head, I was like, I wonder if people like actively ask themselves, like, man, like I live in X state. Like this is the state. And I'm like, wow, this is California. Like my street is so weird. Like, is this street even real? It just looked so fake, like a traditional, like suburban town street. Right. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh, interesting. And I look up in the sky and I immediately fixate on this thing, and it's like translucent, but you can see like the outline of it, but it's not any sort of shape because it's kind of moving, kind of like how like a plastic bag would in like mm-hmm. the ocean. Or like a jellyfish, right? And it's doing one of these things, and it's like constantly like moving its shape, and it has like this reddish maroon tint to it, but it's like translucent. And I'm sitting there and I'm staring at it, and thankfully my dad's sitting in that room, and I said, Dad. And he goes, what? And I was like, can you hear me? He goes, yeah. I was like, come out here, I want you to look at something. He walks out and I'm like, do you see that? And he saw it too. It was this thing, and it wasn't moving fast. It was kind of just like in its own little thing. And I'm like, is it an owl? Like, is it like out, like, you know, but right. It wasn't like the shape of wings. And I was like, and it's too high up to be like a balloon, because a balloon would have to be closer to us to see like the size of it. Right.
And it wasn't a bubble.
And it wasn't a bubble because it was too far away to be a bubble. It would have to be like a giant bubble. And I was like, and it's not any sort of like helicopter or airplane, because they wouldn't have that shape to it, because it was like moving, and it was like jaggedy, like weird little like edges kind of a thing. and it was translucent and it had like this tint to it, like this reddish maroon tint. So I was like, go get the binoculars. And I'm keeping my eye on it this entire time. I have fresh contacts in, so I'm not like seeing these. And my dad just saw this. So he goes and gets binoculars. I have my eyes fixated on it. I grab the binoculars with this one hand, right? And I bring it up to my face. Disappeared. Nowhere to be found.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even understand. We couldn't see it. It just disappeared. I had my eyes fixed on it for like, I don't know, 3-4 minutes. The second I get binoculars to look, disappeared. So guess what I did yesterday?
You Googled it.
I did Google it. Weird blob in the sky. Something similar was seen over in like New Jersey or something. It was very similar to what I had saw, but like broad daylight. But it looked more like a cloud. This was not a cloud.
Okay.
Might I add, this was not a cloud because it was shape shifting kind of and moving slowly, and then like it would go backwards and then up and down. So yesterday I decided to buy myself some space binoculars. And let me tell you, these things are strong. So if any sort of portal wants to make themselves visible to me anymore, again, whatever it is, I'm going to see it. Whether you want me to see it or not, now I got strong binoculars and I'm going to wear them around my neck 24/7. But in all seriousness, I have no idea what it was. I was not the only person to see it, but there was no other talks of it. But I don't understand how I walked outside to look at this airplane. I looked down my street and say that stuff in my head. And then I just so happened to just move my head and immediately fixate on this thing in the sky. I wasn't looking for anything. I just fixated on it. I'm like, did something tell me to go do that?
Yeah.
And I probably just sound like an absolute psycho right now. I had to text somebody and I was going to text you, but then I was like, no, I got to tell you in person. But
yeah,
wild.
I would not be surprised if it was an out of towner. And I wouldn't be surprised either if it was some sort of new technology that the military was testing. Like maybe they have some sort of new, I don't know, invisible
force flying shield thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it in movies and TV shows. Why, you know, where do we come up with this if it isn't really possible that it could be made? I think you saw something. I don't know what you saw. I can't afford to have my friend be abducted. So like, please don't get abducted with your new space goggles that you ordered. But like, I support this, but like, don't get abducted, please.
I'm not trying to get abducted. I just really, it kind of bothers you though. Cause like I was sitting there, I'm like, but what was it? Cause like your curiosity gets to you. And it's like, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. I've never even seen pictures of it on the internet. I've never seen anyone ever speak of anything that has ever looked like that. And I was like, it's not an owl. Like, I was like, is it an owl? We have owls here. It's too far away to be a balloon. It had to be closer up for it to be a balloon of that size. It's not any sort of, it's not a cloud. We didn't even have clouds in the sky that night. It's been really warm and very clear. It wasn't any, it couldn't be a plane or anything. Planes aren't even shaped that way.
No.
I was just like, what? I've run out of possibilities of what it could possibly be.
You're going to have to start a new Reddit thread.
I might have to
tap into the dark web and get some answers.
I don't know if I want to do the dark web, but.
Well, you got to get some answers, girl, because I don't have them.
Absolutely wild. So I'm like, well, I'm going to keep looking because. It was actually right over, I was looking over my neighbor's house, and it was further, obviously, but it was like, I mean, I saw it from my front yard. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Crazy.
Very crazy. Anyway, this episode took an absolute 180 turn. I was going to say 360. It didn't do a 360.
Close enough, you know? Canada, province, Alberta, 360, 180, whatever.
Yep.
There you go. Guys know what you're getting when you listen to us every week. So thanks for tuning in, and we will enjoy the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and good luck to anyone whose teams are still in it or anyone who's rooting for a team that's still in it.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey podcast. We'll be back next week.